our Lord had instituted the supper that we're partaking of. The idea of supper doesn't necessarily mean it has to be at night. To sup means to fellowship with, to feed. And our Lord instituted this on the week of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The entire week of the Passover was a feast of unleavened bread, where all the houses were to be clean from anything leavened. And the bread to be eaten was unleavened. And it doesn't look like much to look at when you see unleavened bread. Leaven makes it rise, but it's a picture of corruption. And we know that in Christ there was no corruption. So there's a reason why it was unleavened bread as a type of Christ. But then also in that week was the Passover, in which the lamb was slain and the lamb roasted and eaten. And so here, each one of the Gospels describes it in a different way according to what the Lord purposed. But here in Luke chapter 22, we have the Lord sending Peter and John away to go and prepare the Passover in order to eat it together. Christ didn't eat the Passover because he needed any kind of offering for his sin. He had none. But he ate it as a type and a picture of who he was with his disciples. And so he sent them and told them there would be a man that would meet them bearing a pitcher of water. Typically, that was not what you would see. It was the women who carried the water. But here was a man, and he would say unto the good man of the house, "The master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?" So all of this the Lord had prepared ahead of time. If it says there of the master, called him a good man of the house, that word good is a God man. He was God's man. This was one of the Lord's disciples. We don't know his name, but he had opened his house for the Lord and his disciples to be able to partake of this Passover. And verse 12 says, he showed them, he shall show you an upper room furnished, there make ready. That's what I love about that. Furnished. There's nothing to add to it or take from it. That you come and dine and eat. And so they went and found it exactly as the Lord had said. But of particular interest to me in how Luke presented this was in Luke 22 and verse 15, where he told his disciples, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." The eyes of Christ had always been on this final Passover. There was to be a final Passover, just like we saw with Moses. That glory was not to continue to shine on his face. There would be a day when it would be shining on the face of the Son of God, who came to fulfill all that was represented in type and picture. But he said, "I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Now, if the kingdom of God is still in the sweet by and by, then that means that we're wasting our time right here. Because the Lord said that he would not eat any more thereof until it be fulfilled. Well, when was it fulfilled? It was fulfilled when he died on the cross. And we have every reason and hope to believe now that it's been fulfilled. The kingdom of God is now. Christ came to establish that kingdom. And so he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves." And he said, "I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine anymore until the kingdom of God shall come." Now, when it says here, he took the cup, as you're reading there, that would have been the old Passover cup. That was the last time that cup was to be passed. And he said that he would no more drink of that anymore with them. And then it says he took the bread, which is what we have represented here as unleavened bread, gave thanks, break it, gave it unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you." That word given means sacrificed. It wasn't just here, take my offer. No, it was given in death. And he says, "This do in remembrance of me." So as we partake, now, this is the living bread of which we partake, representative of the body of Christ. Without sin, no leaven, marked with fire, what he suffered and endured under the wrath of God, that we might be partakers of his grace and glory. And then it says, likewise, also the cup after supper. So the first cup was the Passover. Now this cup was representative of his blood, saying this cup is the New Testament. Why is it called the New Testament? Well, it's because it's been newly fulfilled. It's no longer the Old Testament, but the New. In his blood, which is shed for you. And so then he gave them the cup, gave them the bread, they partook, and went out singing and rejoicing. So that's what this is about. It's not just a formality that we're going through, but it's representative of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's remember him. Gracious Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the elements that you've given us. And I pray that you would be pleased to direct our hearts and minds to your blessed Son. Cause us to see your glory in him and see all of our salvation accomplished in his person and in his work, whereby we can rejoice and know that we have free access into your presence to find grace to help in time of need. May we not take that lightly, but may we do so rejoicing and giving you the praise in all these things. And it's in Christ's precious name I pray. Amen.